Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father. God was the Father of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. God the Father, honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. Now he's giving a personal testimony here. We heard it when we were in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I want to look at that verse of Scripture. I've preached from this before, but I felt it for this morning. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord here this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of God, for the truth of your word this morning. We ask you to anoint it to speak to our hearts. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. And when we look at the second epistle here of the Apostle Peter, this was the apostle that denied the Lord three times. This is the one that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he starts out this epistle declaring himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can go back and look at that. And he talks about himself being a servant, and then he speaks of himself as being an apostle. Amen. A servant and then an apostle. And this lets us to know of his duty to give the whole counsel of God, not only to give it to, but to continually remind us of these most important things. What we need to see this morning is that the basics, we can never get away from the basics. If we get away from the basics of the Word of God, then we're going to get off of the more complicated and the more meaty areas of the Word of God. And so the simplicity of the gospel is what we need to focus on. So what he's talking about here is, I want to go through these verses of Scripture, and I want to kind of bring this out so we can look at it in a better context here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. And through verse 15, all right? He said, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Amen. And so, what he is teaching us and what we can glean from these three verses of Scripture here is the need to establish something that is very simple but yet very important. Peter is saying here, I'm about to die. I'm going to leave this world. The historians tell us that the Apostle Peter died by hanging on a cross. Excuse me. All of the 12 disciples died at martyr's death, except John, who died of old age. They tried to kill him, history tells us, by putting him in a pot of boiling oil. And he came out of the boiling oil without harm. And so they put him on the Isle of Patmos until his death. But this is the Apostle Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost. This is the Apostle that went to Cornelius's house in Acts chapter 10. It is the apostle that was the fisherman. Many, many, many experiences that he had, many opportunity to see the Lord move in his life. And now we see here probably 70 A.D., somewhere in there, maybe even 90 A.D., somewhere in that area. He's now older. He's had all of these experiences, and he's getting to the sunset of his life. And in fact, he says that the Lord showed him that his life was about to be over, and that there was that his ministry and his life would be finished. And he said, "What I want to do now." Think about it here this morning. When we get older, we start thinking differently. We really do. And you can't really understand that until you experience it for yourself. When you're young, you think you're going to live forever, and there's no limit to your energy and your dreams and your excitement and enthusiasm for the future. And in middle age, you're strong and healthy, and you're moving forward with your goals and accomplishments. But there's something about it when you get older, you start thinking a little bit differently about things. And I'm not at that point yet, but I'm working on it. Some of you here this morning might be at that point. And you start thinking about things and start thinking about what you're going to do at the end here. As one evangelist said here, that I have fewer days ahead of me than I do did behind me, and wonder what he meant by that. But I guess I thought about it, and I said, that's true. It's really right. I probably got fewer days ahead of me than I do behind me, and most of us, or many of us here this morning, are that way. Well, the apostle, he's got a lot of authority. A lot of influence. He's a man that is highly respected within the body of the church at that point in time, and even to this day as well. And he's got to make a lasting impression. He's got to make a point here. He's got to emphasize some things that are very, very important. He didn't emphasize that you know, we need to come and have exciting, upbeat services. He didn't say anything about that, even though that's very important. Amen. He didn't say that you know, we need to be organized in our outreach efforts, although that's an important part of the church. Amen. He didn't give us a directive here to make sure that we focus on our Sunday school and maybe doing more outreach for children in Sunday school. He didn't do that. He didn't talk about soul winning. He didn't talk about any of those things. He went right down to the core of the matter, and some things here that are very, very important. And I think that we need to see as very important that we need to have these things always in remembrance. Amen. And so Peter here saw the need to establish something as long as he had this opportunity. And it's very simple, but it's very important. Amen. And to to remind us. He said, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle or in this body to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Amen. So what he said here is that his ministry, and I think that he probably had one of the highest ministries that anybody could have. We think of great men that are alive today. We think of great men that have gone on before the Lord, men that preached, men that were solid, men that were knowing in the Scriptures, men like J.T. Pugh, men like Nathaniel Urshan, other men that have gone on there and passed away, Stanley Chambers, men that could stand, and they didn't jump up and down and shout and run around the church. They just gave the simplicity of the Word of God, and it was powerful, and it was enduring. Amen. Messages like I heard Brother Chambers preach here in Kansas a number of many years ago, and his message was very simple, and it was to ministers, and the message was keep your closet clean. Amen. And that sounds very simplistic and old-fashioned, but I'll tell you what, it was a message that spoke to each and every one of us ministers. And so here is Peter, amen, the man that's going to have his name in one of the 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem, a man that walked with Jesus Christ, a man that could say, I've seen it all and I've done it all. Amen. I was a part of the 70 that went out and cast out devils. I was a part of the 12 that he sent out and said, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. And so he had done it all. I've heard ministers talk about miracles in their ministry in our day. And I think it's exciting and thrilling when we hear those stories. And I have my own stories that I can tell. But nobody saw as many as the Apostle Peter did. Nobody had been down as many roads as he had been down and understood the principles of the Word of God. And so he gives us something here. He says, I'm going to remind you of some things. And verse 16 of the same chapter, and if you'll follow with me as we go down, just keep your finger there in 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 16, Hunter, are you there? Read it for us real loud.
For we have not followed the cunningly devised by fables, but we made known unto you the and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we are eyewitnesses of his majesty.
All right, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Amen. We didn't come to you tell you funny stories. Amen. And then everybody said we had good church. He didn't come and put props on the platform, smoke on the altar, a light ball in the ceiling. He didn't do all of those things. He didn't come with cunningly devised fables. Amen. Stories that would excite the flesh, and stories that would cause us to get away from the basics and the very simplistic things about serving God and living for God. Amen. And he knew it was time for him to leave, and so he made these statements here. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul had the very same idea here. And the Scripture tells us, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And so Paul wrote to Timothy, and then 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, he said, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Amen. And so Peter is saying, we did not come. Paul said, we did not come with cunningly devised fables. We're not coming with the wisdom of man. We're not coming with some fantastic new story that gets everybody excited, some prophetic thing that may be happening. And we're seeing it in our generation today. We really are. I saw a little clip of a, I would call him a false prophet, but he is supposed to be a preacher, not an apostolic preacher, and he's got a large following, people giving him money and all of that, driving fancy cars, flying in jet airplanes and all of that. And he made the comment, and he said, I was in prayer talking to the Lord the other day, and he said, the Lord asked me for my advice. Amen. And he said, God, what do you need advice for? I feel a little uncomfortable. And the Lord told him, he said, no, just off the cuff, I need to know how you feel about this. I need your counsel on this. And people go for these kinds of things. Amen. Another pastor's wife, not apostolic, thank the Lord, was speaking to a group of people. And this is a preacher that has several jet airplanes and lives on a 1,500 or 1,200 acre compound and huge, huge ministry, millions and millions of dollars coming into the ministry. And his wife said, we have authority. And we have authority over the weather. We can control the weather. And I thought, my Lord, they could make a whole lot more money controlling the weather than they could preaching. Amen. Praise God. Whenever a hurricane's coming, just send them on site. And instead of spending billions of dollars in repairs, we could just give half of it to them. Amen. Foolishness. It's foolishly devised fables. Amen. It is not the Word of God, and it is not true. Amen. And these kinds of people are proliferating in our society today. We have a major religion that is among us, and I won't get into calling names here this morning. But the man that started the religion was visited by an angel, so to speak. And I believe that he was. I don't believe it was an angel of God, but it was an angel. And the Bible says that Satan will be able to transform himself into an angel of light. Amen. And so he appeared to this man and told him, he said, go dig underneath that tree right there, and you'll find some golden plates. And on those golden plates, you'll find the everlasting gospel. And he went and dug, and others saw the plates, and the angel gave him the interpretation of those plates. But it is false teaching. It is not of God. And so the Apostle Peter, in the Holy Ghost, understood that there would be a time shortly, very shortly, after his decease, that there would be doctrines that would begin to come into the church. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he told them, I marvel, amen, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into his grace unto another gospel. And so in the time and day of the apostles, there were many false teachers, many false prophets. If you read in the history of these things in the days of the apostles, there were some of the most craziest ideas and craziest beliefs that you could ever come up with that proliferated, that grew, that flourished in that particular era of time. And so Peter had to establish something here, and he drew on his own personal credentials. And he said, listen, I'm not just a Johnny-come-lately here, and I'm not somebody that has just stepped onto the scene. I didn't just fall off of a turnip truck, amen. I know what I'm talking about. I've been around and I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of good things. I've seen a lot of bad things. And I just want you to know, don't go after these cunningly devised fables. Amen. He said, we didn't bring you the knowledge of the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses. Amen. Verse 16. We were eyewitnesses. That's 2 Peter 1 and 16. Amen. Eyewitnesses. Praise God. And he said, we saw it. Nobody can tell me what happened because I was there. I saw it. I saw the miracles. I saw the resurrection. I saw the crucifixion. I was there in the garden when he prayed and great drops of blood came on his face. I was there through all of these things. I was there when he sat us down and he taught us. I was there when he opened up our understanding that we might understand the scriptures. Amen. I was there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out. I saw the mother of Jesus Christ receive the Holy Ghost along with all of the other brethren that were there. Amen. And I could go on and on. I think you're getting the point here this morning. But I want you to see what he was an eyewitness of. So keep your finger there in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, and let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And let's look at it here this morning because this is what he saw. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Now here's Peter, who wrote 1 and 2 Peter. Here is James, who wrote the book of James. Here is John, who wrote the book of John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Revelation. We're not talking about three men here that Jesus just grabbed along the side of the road, but these are the three main men among the disciples, the men that walked the tallest spiritually, and he took them. He's going to show them some things and give them a deep understanding of the simple things of the Word of God, all right? And it says, he brings them up into a mountain apart, verse 2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. And so you have all that is embodied in the Old Testament talking with him. In another place, it says that they were speaking about his death. Amen. He was discussing with Moses and Elijah his death. Praise God, because all of the Old Testament points to the cross. Amen. All of the Old Testament points to the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb that would be slain, amen, that would be for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I wished I could have been there, but I wasn't there. He said, I was an eyewitness of this. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He didn't really understand at that point what he was talking about, because that was not the point of the matter. The point of the matter was he wanted them to see who he really was. Amen. And it was as though he just took a zipper and unzipped himself and opened himself up. And all of a sudden, brighter than the noonday sun, the light shined out of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he was transfigured before them. And in that condition, amen, just like Moses, When Moses came down from the presence of God, they could not look at him because his face shone. I don't think it was just a glow that was on his face. It was a bright light that shined from him as he had been in the presence of God. And they had to put something over his face because it was so bright. Amen. But that was just because Moses was in the presence of God. That light did not come from within him. It was a residual glow from the glory of God. But there was something different about our Lord Jesus Christ. The light did not come and emanate from the outside of him. It came from the inside of him. Praise God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And Jesus was showing the disciples who he really was. He was not the second person of a Holy Trinity, but he was God manifest in the flesh. Well, praise the Lord. You say, well, what about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? There's no scripture. There's scripture that tells us this morning and calls him God the Father. And the reason it says that is because God became a father. Who is God? God is the Holy Spirit. Amen. You say, no, the Holy Spirit is different from God. No, he's not different from God. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to get off here in a minute, but in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says to Mary, the angel said, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was the Father of Jesus Christ. Well, what is the Holy Ghost? Is it the third person of a Trinity, or is the Holy Ghost God Almighty? God is holy. God is a spirit. Amen. It is simply a title. Father is a title. Holy Ghost is a title. Son is a title. Amen. But there is only one God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Jesus did not come to a group of people that believed in a Trinity. They were monotheistic. They believed in one God. And for our information this morning, they still believe in one God. You know why? Because Abraham believed in one God. Moses believed in one God. David believed in one God. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's why Paul could write to Timothy and say that God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. That's why he could write and say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. It was God who came and conceived in Mary by the Word of God, and the Son that was born was the Son of God. Amen. Not only was he the Son of God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm already off my message now. Amen. Not only was he the Son of God, but the Bible says he was the Son of Man. Amen. He was the Son of Man. Amen. That's why he could go to the cross and die. Well, praise the Lord. If he was a co-equal God to a Father and a Holy Ghost God, amen, then he would not be able to die. God never had a beginning, and he never will have an ending. Going to talk about that a little bit here tonight. Amen. He died on the cross, didn't he? Because he was a man. He was a human being. Amen. They put the spear in his side and blood came out. And it was human blood that came out. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, of the sinless Lamb. Amen. He got hungry. He said, I hunger. Amen. And the Bible says that God does not sleep nor slumber. But Jesus was asleep in the boat, wasn't he? Right. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm telling you what, he was all man and he was all God at the same time. God came down and conceived in Mary. And on the divinity side of him, the DNA of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. on the mother side of Jesus Christ and on the side of Joseph, which we have both of those genealogies, is the DNA of humanity. Amen. And so there is divinity and humanity. Well, praise God. I just feel this here this morning. In the tabernacle, there was a veil, and the priest went through that veil once a year with the blood of the sacrificial lamb. And that curtain, Paul writes in Hebrews, and he said the veil is his flesh. It was a representation of the flesh of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom, right? Well, that veil was made of pure wool representing righteousness. Amen. And Jesus Christ was sinless. He was righteous. There were three colors in that veil: red, blue, and purple. Amen. The red represents humanity. It comes from the earth. The blue represents the Spirit of God or the heavens. Amen. And purple is the mixing of the two. Let that sink in a little bit this morning. Amen. Jesus was not just God, he was man at the same time. Praise the Lord. And when the disciples saw him, they only saw a man. But he took him up to the mountain and he opened up himself. See, you thought I'd already left that part of it, but I haven't. Amen. He saw him open up himself, and there was the God that was within him. The Bible says that in Jesus Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. And ye are complete in him, not complete in them, but complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Somebody said, well, Jesus was there at the creation because the Bible says that that the worlds were made by him. I'm telling you what, Jesus was in the creation only in the Word of God or in the plan of God. Amen. Because the Bible says God said, let there be, and there was. Amen. It doesn't say that Jesus said, let there be. It says God said, let there be. Amen. And the spoken word created everything that we see around us right now. Amen. It was the spoken word, praise God, in John chapter 1 that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when God spoke his word, it was an expression of himself. Amen. It was a revealing of something about him. He revealed through his spoken word his ability to create, his ability to save, his ability to keep. All of the attributes of God were expressed by the Word of God, and it created what we have here today. Amen. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God. And so it was the Word of God that became flesh, and that, of course, was Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We ought to be able to shout over this. Amen. Because it is so very, very true. Amen. But what we have here in the word that we're talking about this morning, I just feel this in my heart this morning. I'm not trying to be critical of anybody. I'm not trying to put anybody down. But I just want to preach the truth of the word here this morning. Amen. Peter knew in the Holy Ghost that there would be a time when men would come and they would craft cunning fables. They would come up with ideas that were not Bible, amen, or scriptural. They would come up with things based upon experiences and based upon cunningly devised stories and so on and so forth, and bring to us something that is completely different, amen. Now, again, I'm not trying to be critical here this morning, but I would like to ask you to have an open mind this morning, to have an open heart and an open understanding to the truth. Did you know that the doctrine of the Trinity was not even taught to Christians until the 4th or 5th century? Did you know that that is the absolute truth? That it was devised. You can read your history, and you can understand by history that what they developed was not apostolic. It was not taught by any of the 12 apostles, but it was something that was developed later in time. The word Trinity did not even appear until probably around 300 AD or even later. The word Trinitas was coined by Tertullius, and that was around 200 AD. But the Apostle Paul came along in Galatians chapter 1, and he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. And he said, but if anybody preach anything other than what we have preached, let him be accursed. And so Paul established a timeline, didn't he? He established that what the apostles preached is the truth, and we must hold on to that truth from now on. We can't go forward in time and change out repentance and baptism and Holy Ghost salvation. We can't go forward in time and eliminate holiness. We can't go forward in time and eliminate consecration and dedication and commitment, our personal commitment to God. We cannot eliminate these things. Amen. We've got to go back to the simplicity of the original message that was given by the apostles. It doesn't matter what the church fathers wrote. Amen. It does not matter what men have come up with and said, this is a fable. This is a cunningly devised fable. Amen. And even to this day, the church that developed that doctrine of the Trinity will still state today in 2018 that it cannot be understood. It is a doctrine of the church. It cannot be understood, but it must be accepted by faith. Amen. To believe that there are three co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal, all-powerful, exactly the same God is totally confusing to the mind. Amen. But hold your finger up, Isaac. How old are you? You're 11. How many fingers are you holding up? One finger. Amen. That's not bone, flesh, and skin. That's just a finger, right? Yeah. But it's bone, flesh, fingernail, blood, folks have even said that God's like an egg. Amen. It's a shell, a yolk, and a white. Amen. And that's the way God is. Well, give me a scripture for that one, would you please? I'm not interested in a cunningly devised answer. I'm not looking for something that tries to mess with my mind. Science, so-called science. Amen. That genders questions, and that's all it genders. Amen. When you hold your finger up, there's just one finger. Amen. And when you hold your finger up, that's how many gods there are. There's only one. Simple. Amen. And that God became a father. Amen. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. Well, praise the Lord. We might just have a revival here this morning. You never know. I might just haul off and preach. I might just surprise everybody here this morning. Amen. But I'm telling you here this morning that we cannot get off of the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. We cannot get off the simplicity that God begat Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. It's ridiculous to say. It is absolutely insane. It defies all common logic to say that a father and a son are the same age. It's impossible. With God, everything is possible. Well, I'm sorry. God is reasonable as well. And God does things with order. Amen. Begotten, the word begat, speaks of the moment of conception. That was the very moment that God conceived in Mary that child that was to be born. Jesus had a birthday. You say, well, he was there. He's always been there because the Bible says in the beginning. Beginning does not speak of eternity. Beginning speaks of a point in time. You don't have a beginning with something that's eternal. You can't say that God had a beginning. God never had a beginning. God will never have an ending. But in the beginning, amen, the beginning of what? The beginning of the creation, the beginning of all things, the beginning of the plan of redemption, the creation of the stars and the heavens and all of that. Amen. That was the beginning. Praise God. The Jews claimed to know the month and the day that God created, that God began to create. I think that's very interesting. They go back in their calendar. It's in the month of October. I think it's October 17th. And they say that was the very day that God created the heavens and the earth, that God began his creation of 6 days. Amen. But God was not born on October 17th. God does not have a birthday. God's always been. But God came and conceived in that little virgin, and a child was born. And that child that was born was called the Son of God. And when that child was born, the God that filled all of the universe stepped inside of that body. And wherever that body went, God went. And as that body grew, God filled it. Amen. And when he walked on the shores of Galilee, it was a man, but it was God. Amen. It was God manifest or seen in a body of flesh. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the mediator. The man, Jesus Christ, is the mediator between God and men. The only way that we can get into the holiest of holies is to go through that veil. Praise God. We've got to go through the salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection, or we cannot be saved. Amen. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. And when you talk about Jesus talking about the Father this, the Father that, you say, well, there's at least two gods. No, when he's talking about the Father, he's talking about his parent. The word Father in the New Testament Greek is the word pater, and it means parent. Amen. He's my Father. That's exactly what it means. And if my dad was here, I could say, that's my Father. He is the one who begat me. Amen. And the one that begat Jesus Christ was God Almighty. That's why when we baptize, we don't baptize in a Trinitarian formula, but we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And did you know this morning, we're just going to have a Bible study here, it looks like. Amen. But did you know that the formula of baptism was actually changed from the name of Jesus Christ to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in 325 A.D. Did you know that? I don't expect you to believe me. Google it out. Amen. Google's always right. Go to Bible Knowledge, Wikipedia, whatever. I mean, go to the library, go to the encyclopedias, and you'll find the exact answer that I'm telling you. The formula of baptism was changed to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when the doctrine of the Trinity was being developed at the very same time. But the Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name, folks, that'll wash away your sins. There's only one name. Amen. And it's the name of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. I want to be baptized in his name. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm not putting anybody down that's gone another direction, but I'm just humbly trying to preach this morning the truth of the Word of God. Folks, we cannot get off of the simplicity of the Word of God. We must stand for it, amen, and love it with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Praise God. Will you say, well, Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's go there. That's Matthew 28 and verse 19. Amen. And you don't have to turn there. You're welcome to turn there. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's one reference in the entire New Testament of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when it comes to baptism. Every other place was in the name of Jesus Christ. You say, well, then there's two ways. No, there's one faith, one Lord, and one baptism, the Bible says. One God and Father of all. So there's only one baptism. Amen. Well, let's look at Matthew 28, 19. He said, go and baptize in the name of the Father. Amen. Father is not a name. Amen. Keith, you're a father. That's not your name. We don't call you Father Keith. Amen. He wears his shirt around front. He doesn't have a white collar this morning. All right. We won't call you Father. In fact, Jesus said, call no man on earth Father. Praise the Lord. But anyway, Father's not a name. It's a title. Brother Mike, you're a father. Amen. But that's not your name. That's a title of who you are. Praise the Lord. Brother Troy, you're a father, but that's not your name. I'm a father, but that's not my name. Daryl's a father, but that's not his name. Doug is a father, but that's not his name. Amen. But what father are we talking about? We're talking about our Father in heaven. Amen. What is his name? Well, his name is Jesus. You say, well, I need a scripture for that one. All right, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Praise the Lord. For unto us a child, everybody said a child, is born. Unto us a son is given. Amen. So there's a child that's born. It's a human being that is born by natural birth methods. Amen. Or ways. All right. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's going to be a ruler. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Counselor, the Mighty God. What's the next one? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So this child that is born will be the Everlasting Father. Amen. He is the manifestation of God. Amen. Son is not a name. He said, go baptize in the name of the Son. Amen. What is the name of the Son? That's an easy one this morning. The name of the Son is Jesus. What is the name of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Well, the Holy Ghost is the Father. Praise the Lord. My pastor asked somebody one time, he was talking to them about this, and they were talking about it. He said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, if the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus, then who is God the Father of? If you've got three gods and the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus, then who is God the Father of? And he sat there for a minute and he said, well, I guess he's the grandpa. Amen. So we've got grandpa, son, and grandson. Amen. I don't know what you've got. It's totally confusing. Amen. And I'm not trying to be demeaning here this morning at all, but I'm just trying to help us to understand there's only one God. Amen. And Peter said, I saw him in the mountain. I've got to get back to my message here this morning. But before I get into the message this morning, and I don't really have a whole lot of time left, if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, why are you waiting? Amen. Amen. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Have an open heart. Praise God. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, it means that somebody in my family wasn't saved. You know what? What you believe isn't going to change where they're at one little bit. But where you're at this morning is very important. And where you're going this morning is very important. And we must be baptized. That's why Peter said in Acts 2:38, when they said to him, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And Matthew was standing there. Matthew, who wrote Matthew 28:19. He was standing there when Peter said to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And Matthew did not say, hold it, Peter. Remember what he said in the mountain? No, we've got to baptize in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He was in complete agreement with the Apostle Peter because they had received the Word of God, and the Word of God is true and right. Amen. Doesn't matter how I feel. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to cut it to the chase here. You can go ahead and study out 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verses that we read this morning. But Peter said, I was there. I saw him. I heard the voice that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. It was a confirmation of who this man Jesus Christ was and what he came to do to save us from our sins. Well, praise the Lord. He said, but, verse 19, 2 Peter 1 and 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Praise the Lord. I was there. I was an eyewitness. I saw it all. But I'm telling you what, in a court of law, you got to have more than one eyewitness. And sometimes eyewitnesses conflict each other. Well, I thought I saw. The other one said, no, you didn't see that. It was this. You know? What was that in the sky? Oh, that was a UFO. It got so close I could look in the window. There was a window, and there was a man looking out that window, and it was Elvis. Amen. Well, praise God. You can get a lot of stories with eyewitnesses. Amen. I saw this, I saw that. But I'm telling you what, folks, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And if you ever get off of this basic principle, you're in trouble. Amen. You're going in a different direction. What is the more sure word of prophecy? Amen. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so when we go to the prophets of the Old Testament, and by the way this morning, Peter, James, John, Jude, Paul, all of the apostles of Jesus Christ, they did not have a New Testament to preach from. They wrote the New Testament. They preached from the Old Testament. And they said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Oh, I could get into it and go for a couple of hours here this morning. It's so thrilling to get into the Word of God and see the depths and the height and the breadth. Amen. There's depths of the Word of God. There's widths of the Word of God. There's heights of the Word of God that is more than just the textual reading on the surface of the Word of God. There's prophecy in the Bible. There's no prophecies in any other book. Amen. There are so many levels of deep truth. It is said that Einstein came up with E equals MC squared by studying the Bible. Isaac Newton, who was a very learned man, he said, I got more wisdom from the Bible than I ever have from science. Listen, folks, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And we've got to get off of our feeling situation. We've got to get out of our selfies. Amen. I see them taking selfies, and they might be arguing with each other, and then all of a sudden, and they post it for the whole world to see. Amen. Somebody calls it Facebook. Somebody called it fake book. Amen. Whatever you want to call it, it doesn't really represent everything. Amen. I just feel like, you know, that God has accepted me. Well, I just feel like, you know, the this preacher here or that preacher over here. Hey, listen, friend, I'm telling you, we've got to get off of our feelings, amen, the things that are going on around us. Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And so angels will come and try to deceive you. Has anybody ever been visited by an angel? Oh, my. People have died and went to heaven, and they come back and told us what happened. People have died and went to hell and came back and told us what happened. And we build beliefs on these things. Amen. There are showings of the Mother Mary all around the world, and people come by the thousands, the Our Lady of Lourdes, and they saw the sun going wild in the sky. Amen. And it's become a holy shrine, and now they pray to Mary. I'm telling you, folks, the Bible says that Satan will reveal himself as an angel of light. He will be able to call fire down from heaven. He will be able to do miracles in the sight of men. But Peter said, I was an eyewitness of these kinds of things, but there is a more sure word of prophecy. It is the simplicity of the Word of God. If anybody comes ruling the world and saying, peace, peace, just there's a good thing to ask him. How many gods are there and what's his name? How were you baptized? Well, if he's not baptized in Jesus' name, it's not of God. Oh, well, yeah, but it seems so exciting and so... this is the way, it's the modern, it's the new. Oh, listen, friend, Peter went down that road, and don't tell me he wasn't excited when he saw the Lord in that holy mount. Amen. Don't tell me that there wasn't goosebumps all up and down his back when the light shined out of our Lord. Amen. Don't tell me that he was moved and just changed in his life by this experience. But somewhere he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. No, that's not the scripture that I want right now. Amen. John said in one of his epistles, are y'all still with me here this morning? Amen. I think I'm just teaching here this morning. But John said in one place, he said, we are of God. He was speaking of himself and the other 11 apostles. He said, we are of God. How many of you believe that they are of God, the apostles of Jesus? I believe that they're of God. He claimed that they were of God. He said, we are of God. Why? Because they were founded upon the prophets and Jesus Christ, who taught them. And we are founded upon the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So he said, we are of God. He that is of God will hear us. He that is not of God will not hear us. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? He said, hereby we know. This is how we can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You read it for yourself. It's in the Word of God. It's in your Scripture. Amen. That's how we know truth. Amen. Because we go back to the teachings of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus taught in parables. The apostles did not. Jesus revealed things only to the apostles that he did not reveal to others. And it has come out in the Word of God. I'm thankful for the Word of God here this morning. I've got a more sure word today. Praise the Lord. And when it comes down to your own personal life, why get upset when troubles come along? Why worry and fret all the time about situations and circumstances in your life? Do you believe in one God this morning? I do. And I believe that God is love. I believe that God has grace to give to me. I believe that God can help me in any situation. Amen. And so I want to go to him, and I can understand that all the promises in him are yea and amen to the glory of God. Let's stand together this morning. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, and I'll finish with this here this morning. Peter is really giving us some deep, deep things here. And he prefaces what we studied here this morning. And he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. Everybody said exceeding great. Exceeding great. Now, you're not saying it the way it really means it. Exceeding great. No, great is great. Come on, you guys on the front row. Great.
Great.
No, come on. Think about that pretty girl that you met at camp. All right, ready? Great. Oh, you guys got a long way to go. But if it's really great, it's great. But he said the promises are not just great. They're exceeding great. You guys got a long way to go. Help us this morning, Jesus. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, the promises are found. They're found right here in the Word of God. Come on, somebody. They're found right here in the Word of God. I thank God for His Word this morning. If you get into trouble, get into a situation in your life, somebody comes along with a cunningly devised fable, oh, this, that, and the other, oh, you just got to go back to the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. If you've got to twist yourself up like a pretzel to get an interpretation out of the Word of God, I'm telling you what, the King James Version Bible is written at a 12-year-old level. 12-year-old level. Anybody can understand the Word of God that has the ability to comprehend and repent and serve the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful today we've got something that is simple, but it is so very, very profound. Can we pray together? Come on, somebody help me, and let's pray together this morning. Father, I lift you up this morning. I give you praise this morning for the simplicity of the Word of God, message of truth that will save our soul, that will give us guidance into eternity. Touch us this morning. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's lift our voices together right now. Come on, young men, help the pastor this morning. You know how to pray. Let's ask God to move here this morning. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. That's the Word of God. Doesn't matter how I feel, it's the Word of God. And it's true, and it's right, and it will come to pass. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning for the Word of God? Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God.